This is News in No Time at Gordon. On a special edition of the Roundtable today, we turn to Latin America and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's trip there this week. Joining us from Bogota, Colombia, is John Otis, South American Bureau Chief for the Houston Chronicle, and São Paulo, Brazil, Marcio Sendemorais, international political analyst and reporter for the newspaper Folha de São Paulo, and from Santiago, Chile, Jesse Hardman, a journalist working in development for the Journalism School of the University of Alberto Hurtado. And we thank you all for joining us. Mr. Otis, let me start with you. Talk to me, if you will, about the importance of this trip.
Well, Colombia actually does receive a lot more attention than most other Latin American countries just because Colombia is still a huge provider. It's the number one provider of cocaine up to the United States, and there's a guerrilla war going on here. So we've actually had quite a lot of congressional delegations and U.S. officials coming through. Condoleezza Rice comes, however, at a fairly difficult moment, partly because the drug war seems to be somewhat stalled, despite a huge U.S.-backed fumigation program to try to wipe out coca plants, which produce coca. The actual number of acres has gone up in the past year, and also the guerrillas seem to be making somewhat of a comeback.
Interestingly enough, there are so many dynamics with the different regions and countries there. Mr. Hardman, let me ask you, as far as Chile is concerned, what is being looked for there?
Well, Secretary of State Rice is coming here for a meeting of the Community of Democracies Forum, which is a group of about 140 countries. It's kind of like a United Nations light. They're having a conference here to talk about a lot of the things that the Bush government is also hoping to talk about while in Latin America: democracy, transparency, accountability. Chile is enjoying a nice run of hosting conferences. They hosted the APEC summit last November. The economy couldn't be better. They have a great economic relationship, free market relationship with the United States. So her trip here on the face value is seen as kind of another step in a line of advancement for Chile, so far as being at the top of Latin America economically at the moment and in a lot of Chileans' eyes politically as well.
Mr. Sendemorais, talk to me about the Brazilian side of this trip, if you will.
Yeah, sure. Well, basically, Secretary Rice was here yesterday and this morning. This morning, by the way, she's speaking about U.S. foreign policy in Brasilia. But yesterday, the whole conversation and meetings, they were all contaminated by the Venezuela and both Bolivia and Ecuador crisis. So the situation, basically in what regards Ecuador and Bolivia, Brazil and the U.S. agree with and they think the democratic process should continue and they should try and carry out elections and everything. But in what regards Venezuela, there's the relationship's a bit more difficult because the U.S. is very much worried about Chavez and the arms deals with Russia and everything, and they're saying now that maybe some of those arms are getting to Haiti. And in here in Brazil, there is a position basically to give Chavez a chance and try and keep and respect Venezuela's sovereignty.
Mr. Otis, let me ask you about the dynamic that the secretary will have to deal with, and that is with the idea that each region has different issues and problems, yet there could be, based on any decision, somewhat of a domino effect in terms of changing one dynamic or another.
Well, one of the criticisms of U.S. Policy in Latin America is that oftentimes it seems a bit like a one-size-fits-all strategy for all these different countries, but every country is quite unique. The situation in Ecuador, for example, the government collapsed last week, and one of the reasons is that President Lucio Gutierrez was ousted in a kind of popular uprising, was seen as very corrupt and doing almost nothing to help the legions of poor people in Ecuador. But, you know, there was very little talk about that in the United States. Chavez, meanwhile, while he's done a number of things that have been very very worrisome in terms of the country's democracy, he's been spending all kinds of oil money on anti-poverty programs. And yet Chavez is the one who's singled out by the United States as sort of being the area-wide villain. And that just doesn't really wash in a lot of these different countries. Brazil doesn't really think that way, nor do most of the other nations in this region.
Mr. Hartman, you talked about Chile and the economy and its growing nature. Yet there is a concern in terms of the gap between the haves and have-nots. I'm curious how the Secretary of State needs to deal with that without looking terribly paternal in the eyes of government when the United States has the same problem.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Chile is ranks as having one of the largest disparities in income in the world. And I think that's a lot of that's overlooked both here and in the United States. And I think on the other side, I gave kind of the happy face initially, but there's going to be some enormous protests here, as there were in November. And those have a lot to do with the poverty here. Chile has a pretty high unemployment rate, which has continued despite economic advancement. And again, playing off of what some of the other comments have been, the paternalistic nature of the Secretary of State's visit, including Chavez, Chile, again, is trying to be part of South America. They're trying to get a candidate in as head of the Organization of American States, which is very important here. The Americans have supported the Mexican candidate. So there's definitely some things to talk about. And as far as poverty is concerned, it's going to be addressed at this conference here. But I think some of the more important conversations might be had in the streets concerning this during her visit.
Mr. Sindamorais, let me ask you, as relates to the idea of linkage of regions and countries, is there a concern? There seems to be a undergirding of concern by many in the United States government that suggests that all of Latin America may have more leftist leanings than they would like to see. Is there a concern that this is growing in this part of the world?
Somehow, yes. But here in Brazil, government tends to think that, you know, every country is allowed to choose whatever system they want to. So actually, this is a problem between the U.S. And Brazil, because, or the American administration and Brazilian administration, because there are different approaches in what regards that matter. For example, in what regards Ecuador and Bolivia, we're truly worried about the situation over there, but we're less worried about the anti-Americanism that the U.S. sees in those popular movements over there. So it's all a matter of tuning together whatever approach you need to see a situation. In Brazil, there's more a trend of saying, you know, you're allowed to choose whatever you want to. In the U.S., there seems to be a little more worry. People seem to be a little more worried about the situation.
Mr. Otis, in relation to what you spoke on, and that has always been the concern with the Colombian region there, and that is the drug trade, and obviously how much money is pumped into the U.S. economy based on that. When you look at that versus the toll over the human rights record of Colombia, are we still seeing the dollar in that illicit trade still being far and away more powerful than any other concern that the United States will look at?
I think so. In the end, drugs is what fuels just about the greater number of problems here. For the drugs fund the leftist guerrillas. Drugs fund the right-wing paramilitaries who are trying to fight the guerrillas. Drugs fund corrupt politicians. And so it's a huge concern. But the problem is the drug war has been going on here for 30 years or more, basically ever since the Nixon era. And yet it really hasn't made much of a dent in the amount of cocaine and heroin getting into the States. So a lot of people here are concerned about the actual strategy. They don't think it's sustainable. Colombia's received more than $4 billion in U.S. aid since 2000, 75 to 80% of that basically being funneled into police and military aid to go after drugs and guerrillas, and yet the drugs and the guerrillas are still around, and they show no signs of really coming to a halt.
And let me ask you, how is that seen by the common man there? In the United States, to a great degree, the, quote, drug war is seen as a farce. Many people feel that the dollar amount is just too large for the government to concern itself with really trying to eradicate drug trade and importation. I'm curious how it's seen there.
Well, it's interesting. Over the last few years, Colombian officials are more willing to comment to you that they don't see this drug war as coming to an end anytime soon or being particularly successful. They say as long as there's a huge demand in the United States, peasant farmers are going to be growing coca and heroin poppies no matter what. It's sort of an economics thing. Where there's demand, people will supply these drugs. And so even though Colombia officially is very strong in the drug war and is going along with Washington recommended policies, a lot of people here realize that the drug war seems to be stalled and that as long as there is this huge demand, it's just going to be an endless cycle.
Mr. Sindamores, let me ask you an issue that a number of people concern themselves with, particularly people in that region that I've talked to, and that is the ambiguous stance by Washington on many issues and the idea that we have seen over the years a jumping around of support depending on which way the wind blows for the United States government. Does that remain a concern as far as you can see?
Yes, somehow yes, because, well, after 9/11, Latin America basically got forgotten by the American administration because the whole interest area shifted to Central Asia. And, well, before, Latin America wasn't a priority, and after that, Latin America became even less of a priority. So down here, people are really worried about this situation. On the other hand, when it comes to FTAA, for example, Brazilians particularly, they are worried about the possibility of, you know, the U.S. kind of reaching through Latin America and signing bilateral deals with different countries and kind of isolating Brazil. So it's a mixed situation because at the same time we want to increase the relationship between the U.S. and Brazil, but on the other hand we're afraid that the U.S. is too big a partner that it might somehow suffocate Brazil within Latin America, mm-hmm. which for Brasilia and for the Brazilian administration is our priority or area of influence.
Mr. Hartman, I'm curious, decades ago, when a U.S. Secretary of State or other official would visit Latin America, there seemed to be a sense of optimism, a sense of hope, a sense of Big Brother truly assisting. Is that the case today, or is it viewed with a wink and a nod that it's something that we have to put up with, but we don't count the chickens, so to speak?
There was a quote in the paper here the other day from Secretary of State Rice essentially saying Latin America's had its troubles, but it's also had its successes. Over the last 15 to 20 years, it's advanced quite a bit. Chileans take something like that very personally. They feel like their successes in a lot of ways have been their own, and I think they do see a visit by her in some ways as something they kind of have to do to keep this relationship up with the United States. In a lot of ways, they feel like wanting to be as Brazil, wanting to be an independent, successful country, but also liking some of the benefits of the relationship they have with the United States. There's also a history. Secretary of State, the name Kissinger here still brings up a lot of anger with a lot of Chileans, and the U.S.'s involvement in some of the politics in the 70s here in Chile, and the past is still very present here. So again, a lot of the protests we'll see here tomorrow have an element of that involved as well. And there's just a hope that they can continue to prosper, but at the same time have their own identity that's very important here. I have to explain President Bush just about every day here to Chileans, and there's definitely a sense of acceptance of the relationship, but also a questioning. And just the last point to make, Chile was on the Security Council for the United Nations when the vote was up to go to war with Iraq, and there was a lot of pressure from President Bush on Chilean President Lagos, and he ended up abstaining. 70% of Chileans or more did not agree with that war, according to Gallup polls. And that was another rift that's kind of been caused and also is very present still with Chileans.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Sindamores, the same question to you. What about those in Brazil? Is there a sense of optimism or a sense of, as I said before, a wink and a nod, we have to put up with this?
Yeah, it's more the second possibility, I'd say, because, you know, it's the U.S. for Brazilians, it's almost like Big Brother. You know, it's a must-be situation. I mean, we have to be partners. It's good for both. And it's at the same time, it's complicated for both because the U.S. kind of needs Brazil in order to keep things quiet down here in South America. But Brazil wants to be more, let's say, independent, or at least look more independent. And that's a difficult approach, actually, for the Brazilian administration. On the other hand, last year in 2003, there was a lot of bad feelings about the U.S. here in Brazil because of the Iraq War and everything. But that's basically gone nowadays. I think this visit Secretary Powell's last year visit here to Brazil, this feeling kind of dissipated, and the situation has been getting better in what regards the popular opinion.
John Otis, finally and very quickly, same question to you. Obviously, Colombia has a bit of a different need as relates to the division there. The drug lords stand very strong with whomever comes to the table. But I'm curious about, again, the common man and how they see the visit.
United States most Colombians seem to admire the United States. And when top U.S. officials come through, there really isn't that much in the way of protest. People realize that the relationship with the United States is vital for the country. It's gone a long way towards improving the military forces and towards sort of putting a stop to some of the guerrilla advances. They were really moving strongly in the mid-1990s until the United States stepped in with what they call Plan Colombia. President Alvaro Uribe is seen as probably the strongest United States ally in Latin America. Mm-hmm. So again, the relationship here is quite tight.
All right. John Otis in Bogota, Colombia. From Sao Paulo, Brazil, Marcio Sindamores, and from Santiago, Chile, Jesse Hardman. I thank you all for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.